Hello and welcome to Butts to Nuts, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother, Scott Charlesworth.
That's me.
Scott, how are ya?
I'm pretty good because we just went for a nice walk, didn't we?
We did.
You know, a bit of a wander around the town, and you caught some Pokemon.
I did. See, we were going to do this podcast, but I felt like, seeing as the subject that it's on,
very heavy,
9/11, I wanted to be like, yo, there's a community event in Pokemon Go on today, and I don't want to be rushing this topic for Pokemon Go.
Yep.
So we put the podcast aside for more important things like Pokemon.
Yep.
And I'm
very, very respectful of you, Ben.
I got a 3000 CP boy.
I commend you on that.
Three stars on his appraise. He's okay. But, you know, I wanted it to be better. He's called an Ursaluna.
Wow. That, I don't know what that is.
You want to add me? I'm fat titty lad. Humble red team. Just putting it out there. You got any life tales before we get deep and...
Not
really.
Not many life tales. I mean, I did go to the pub last night.
Lovely.
And saw... some teachers there from school, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, and I watched the band and caught up with some mates last night. It was pretty, pretty fucking good.
Before we get
into... It was bloody beautiful.
Before we get into this one, obviously, I guess, we won't be making as many
Yeah.
Bit of a different podcast for us.
It is a heavy, heavy topic.
But we did say that we do all movies.
We have to have variety like this, because otherwise, if we're just going to stick in one section, then, you know, we're not a movie review podcast. We're a comedy podcast.
Exactly. So, and comedy's for dickheads. And
like us.
Yeah, comedy is for losers who can't think on their feet.
That's the exact opposite of what comedy is. That's just, that doesn't make any sense.
I can't think on my feet right now.
You're dead?
Synopsis.
Oh my god, I can't believe that I totally forgot a synopsis.
What the movie that we did watch today was
United
93 from 2000 and...
Thank you for giving me the title so I could...
Or 2006. 2006. Okay. The movie was from 2006.
2006, wow. Oh my god, that's quite recent after 9/11.
It's 5 years. So they did a few 9/11 movies. There's also that Nick Cage World Trade Center movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I mean, half a decade though, I guess,
true,
after the attack.
True.
But I got a big question after you read the synopsis, and then we'll get into the review.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you hit me with that. Hit me with that synopsis.
So the synopsis is, the passengers of a flight are shocked when their plane is hijacked by a few terrorists. They decide to fight the terrorists after learning about the attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon, which basically just sums up everything.
Yeah, yeah. Before we get into this review,
yes,
big question I have for you.
I am prepared for your questions.
Do you find movies like this insincere as they're profiting off a tragedy, or do you find them impactful because they provide an insight into these events?
Depends, because some movies are insincere when they rely too much on over-dramatization.
Yeah.
And then you can tell, okay, the studio is just profiting off a historic event to get some money and to bring in people that go, hey, I find this topic interesting.
Yeah, like John Wick or something.
But something like this, though, where for me it felt really realistic and it was done in a way where it's almost documented. It's like a recreation in a documentary. You know when like you see those old National Geographic documentaries of like ancient Egypt and stuff, and obviously they're pretty dramatized as well.
Yeah.
But like they do their best to try and recreate things. That's kind of what it felt like, but in like a movie sort of realm.
So like,
if that
you
makes
mean
sense.
Like when they're doing a thing
just
on Egypt
time.
And then next thing you know it switches to like the Pharaoh whipping like some dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously they're actors.
Obviously they're actors. Yeah. No, that's how I get the... It's like the dramatization in a documentary. That's how it feels for me the whole time. But it's done in a really unique kind of... It almost feels like it's documented.
So you would say that this is an insight into a good, impactful insight.
Yes, I completely agree.
For this movie. Say some movies are insincere.
Yes, that would be my overall opinion on that question, for sure.
I agree.
Oh, wow. We're just like on the same wavelength. Oh,
high five. Slap I'm me getting some... at an awkward angle.
Yep.
Oh, hang on.
Hey, that was pretty good for the angle that you were given there.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for me? A big question. Hit me with a big life-changing question.
Man, I... You know how people say...
That's a statement.
It is a statement.
Go.
I don't know. I don't think I have any questions.
No, go. Okay, sorry.
But I just find it... Like, this is one of those events that people say that they always remember where they were. It was so life-changing to the entire world.
Yeah.
You can ask anyone who was aware at the time and they will tell you where they were. Even if they get details mixed up, like, they will tell you that, you know, they remember the exact moment that they found out about this.
Yeah, where they saw it.
Yeah. So well known, and it's still very fresh in people's memories, even though it's like 20 years ago now.
Last year was the 20-year anniversary.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I thought that was the other day, but it wasn't. I think it does portray it very well. I'm glad that they didn't do a lot of dramatization, making backstories and characters and subplots and people that you don't give a shit about. They were just people. We didn't find out anything about their lives. I mean, a little bit, like...
No, but, like, I understand where you're coming from. There was no bullshit. It was just the topic at hand, and it was those events in that 2 hours prior, like, leading up to that plane crashing.
Yeah.
Because isn't it they tried to get as real time as possible, like, with the length of the movie? From, like,
stuff. Oh, really?
Because, like...
I didn't know that.
When the plane crash happened in Pennsylvania, it's like 10:03, it said, right? Or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. I think the movie started around, like, when it was 8 or something like that.
Oh, really?
I think. Don't quote me on it, but...
I will.
I quoted
you, and everyone said you're wrong.
Yep.
And then now we're going to
berate me online. Yeah.
That's my favorite thing, is berating you online.
But it felt like the pace of the movie felt like it felt very natural, and the length, I would say. It felt like you were on for the terrible ride that was in those offices trying to contact these planes the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
It was just horrifying. So much build up, too.
Mm.
That's what I would say is my favorite part of this movie, is it's a nice slow burn, and then when every climax hits, literally, like, it's horrible. It's like your heart sinks.
Yeah, you feel it every time.
And then till the very last crash, which is like, obviously they were victorious in not getting the terrorists to their target,
the White House, yeah.
It was still a horrible thing. Like, they had to sacrifice themselves to do that.
Yeah, you don't...
There was no hope. It was as that guy... Sorry to cut you off there. But the guy in the plane who orchestrated the takeover, retakeover, I guess, was like, it's a suicide mission.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no... I guess there was, like, no hope at a point. But you didn't feel good at the end either.
No, no.
Like, thinking, oh, well, at least they didn't hit the White House. You're kind of like... Oh, I feel terrible.
These people did not deserve that. Like, they were just going about their lives, and then bang, it's over. It's over like that.
Yeah. And I think that's as well a good thing why you didn't see the whole backstories, because it would have probably tarnished all of that sort of impact of those big, heavy moments, you know? All you heard was, hey, congrats on the promotion or stuff like that.
Little things.
It's just small talk, but you didn't hear... you know, like with the pilot, how he had his wife, he talked about his anniversary, but then we didn't have to see his wife ring him. We didn't see his wife. Amazing.
Yeah. And no, it kept it in the element of where it's supposed to be. It didn't leave the planes, the airport, or the control towers or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just there.
And that, I feel, was really good.
Wise choice, to be honest.
Absolutely.
And you're still connected to these people not through characterization, but through the story. You're connected to them through their fear, because you're empathetic of what they were feeling. this movie does a very special thing where it actually allows you to feel like you're in their shoes because it's so realistic.
Yeah.
Like, you literally go, I was saying the whole time, man, how would I get out of this? And literally they did all the things that I would have tried to do.
Yeah, legit.
And they still didn't get out of it. Like, you know, it's... It, like, when you watch stuff with, like, no hope at the end, it, man, it's gut-wrenching.
Yeah, we've had a few of these lately.
We definitely have, yeah.
But you're right, it did feel very genuine, as if it was... It's hard to say because, obviously, the plane crashed, so we don't know the full experience of those people.
That's right. They had to make up some of that, obviously.
But that feels very genuine from, like, the little sprinkles that we actually know about.
That's right, because the information we were provided is they took over the plane before it crashed.
Exactly right. Yeah, well, that's what brought it down. Otherwise, it would have hit its target.
The struggle, yeah.
And they were also ringing their family and stuff, and I know... Spoilers for some of the trivia, but they consulted with the families as well for this movie, so yeah. They would have given insight on what was happening and the little phone calls, so it would have been pretty accurate.
So that's what they did. They went out to the families and got accounts and just pretty much brought it together.
A lot of it, yeah.
Wow, that's super interesting, and that is exactly the way to do this sort of stuff too. You don't just read. And you go, okay, I'm going to make a movie on it.
Oh, okay, yeah. You need 9/11 happened. I think I got a rough idea. I'll make a movie about that.
And no, if anyone has done history, you know you need your bloody sources.
You need your primary source, mate. None of this secondary bullshit.
None of this fucking mustard. We want this barbecue and this tomato.
Yeah. None of this soft sauce. We want the hard stuff.
Hard sauce. Get on the sauce. Well... Yeah, that is exactly the right and respectful way to do something like this for sure.
Yeah.
And I feel like it gives them a story. And being so recent as well, like, that would have been pretty special for them to have gotten that story out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it is for entertainment, but it's also educational at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. If it was... When it's done insincere, let's say I feel like in a year, we should watch the World Trade Center movie with Nick Cage.
Oh, I haven't seen
it. Because that came out same time as this.
Right, okay.
Same year, I don't know about month-wise.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that's genuine, because it'd be cool.
What perspective is that from? Is that like a ground...
Firefighter. Ground perspective.
Now, that's another very interesting perspective, because that's the thing with this event. It affected so many different walks of life.
Yeah.
That you had... the control tower people is not even something that I've thought about very much before.
No,
it's always been the firefighters and people in the building.
And the Twin Towers is what you mainly think of.
Planes, yeah.
I'll be honest, I didn't even really know that there was about United 93.
Really?
No, I didn't.
Have you heard of it before?
Heard of it, and I knew that there was more, but I just didn't know the full... story to each plane. I knew, because all you really hear about is the main two.
You don't even hear about the Pentagon one a lot.
No, never hear about the Pentagon one. Yeah. So like, I knew the other ones happened.
Yeah,
but I just didn't know the story behind it and how it happened. And it just kind of gave you a whole extra level of holy shit.
Yeah,
this event was nuts.
Definitely, man. Oh,
the tension was great. Some of your, it's weird to say favorite, but I guess, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Most tense favorite moment.
I would probably say the beginning. When the terrorists were in the motel and they were getting ready and they were praying and stuff, I was like, oh my God, they're not even talking. This is just like shots of them walking into the airport and stuff. They're right there amongst the people.
Yeah.
I was like, my God.
We're off to a screamer.
Keeping it without any dialogue there, it was just them praying and then just like kind of looking at each other and getting ready, and oh man, it was just sent shivers down my spine, bro. I was just like, this is
one of them shaving his pubes.
Pube shaving. I don't know why he was shaving his pubes. Maybe just
because they wouldn't let him through otherwise. If he had hairy pubes, the metal detector would have gone off.
Maybe he was putting stuff down there or something. I don't know.
Wire. I don't know. I appreciated the pube shot. Oh, no, we didn't see the pubes. I appreciated the shaving pube shot.
Yeah.
Lighten the load for me. Before the heavy...
Before the crazy stuff.
I think the most tense bit for me was when we're in the Boston Control Center.
Yeah.
And then that old dude was like A11, and then you hear the message come through, and they're like, we've hijacked your planes.
And he's getting up and he's going, hey, something's wrong here. They've said they've hijacked planes, not plane.
No, yeah, he thought it was just a plane at first. And then they were like, oh, shit, let's listen back to that. And it was like planes, like multiple.
Plural.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's... there was a lot of those moments in the control center when, even when they were arguing and talking over the top of each other, freaking out, and it got to the confusion of there being 5 hijacked planes as well.
Yeah, there's so much confusion.
God, they... Because our dad, he works at a RAF base, and he was telling us about how the air traffic controllers, they go through a lot of stress, being their job is so crazy all the time. They're managing all these planes coming in and out, and it's you've literally got people's lives in the balance all the time.
Mm.
Your whole day is just, that's it. And they get a lot of time off for mental health and stuff. Can you imagine the mental health of these guys going through this, in a disaster mode? Dude.
Yeah, you'd be fucked.
Oh, man. They must have all sorts of problems going on because, that would just stick with you forever.
Yeah, for sure.
So bad. Yeah.
I just, even that they were that, everyone was all over the place because when the plane crashed into the first building, and then it was 20 minutes later, and in the Langley control room, they're like, are we tracking A11 still? And it was, but that had crashed 10 minutes ago or something.
But they just flown below the radar. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know. They thought it was a small plane at first, remember?
Yeah. And yeah.
It was oh, maybe the American Airlines 11 is still out there, but it already crashed. And then, where's the next one? It already crashed as well.
Crazy.
Number 2. Imagine witnessing seeing the second plane as well.
Just all the confusion and, oh, man, it's just the most stressful moment. They'd just be insane to comprehend. Also, I liked how they depicted the military as well, because they were very slow.
Yeah, they didn't
jump on it straight away, because something like this had not happened, like they said, hijacking for 20 years.
Yeah, and they
30 years or something, even
20, I think I said. But the jets as well were unarmed, so what was going to happen even if they did get there?
Yeah, they were probably just going to escort them down, but
that they weren't going to.
If a terrorist has crashed into a fucking building, they're not going to be doing that. They're not going to listen to anyone.
Especially if it's unarmed. But I guess they could have pretended that it was armed or something. But they're not going to give a shit either.
They wouldn't care. They'd just say, oh, okay, well, you know, if we're not going to hit the mark, then the people in the plane will just come down.
Yeah.
That's the thing, too. There was no... Yeah, you got that sense of fear from the actors that were playing the terrorists as well. That they were giving off, they were just so prepared to just give their lives, sort of thing.
Yeah, imagine that.
That felt really realistic and frightening to me. I was like, oh wow, being in the real version of this, Jesus.
It's weird, it's crazy as well that they were praying to God for forgiveness, and then they were
just killing everyone,
killing people.
Yeah,
I was like, oh bro, and the morals there are so out of whack.
Yeah, Al-Qaeda, not a very... Yeah, it's so extreme, bro.
Yeah, that's the terrorists, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, these guys, they're the Al-Qaeda group from the 90s.
Yeah,
That's when it was very influential and popular. And then, obviously, it went into ISIS later and all a bunch of other ones and offshoots and things.
Yeah, all sorts of things.
Different versions of basically the same thing with different ideas and... Yeah, different groups of people, but it's... Yeah, this was definitely, obviously, Al-Qaeda.
Mm.
Actually, you know what? You should actually watch the Netflix documentary on all this as well.
Yeah.
That's really, really good. I think after this...
Called what?
I can't remember the name of it.
What is it about them? It's about hunting, like, Osama and stuff. Or,
well, it's about the whole thing from like Cold War with the Americans.
Oh, was that last year they released that? Eh?
Yeah. And it goes all the way up to when Trump brought the American troops out.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's the full thing. Pretty modern. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But it's like the full timeline, 9/11 as well, and yeah, it goes through all of this stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy now. Like where we're at 20 years ago.
And I mean, the impact is still happening.
Yeah. They're in a whole different situation now.
Well, like, you know, our security measures are much tighter all over the world.
Ever
especially
since
the Western world is much tighter. Yeah.
There was, what aeroplane company in Australia? They went bankrupt after 9/11. Can't remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What are they called?
I got no idea.
Doesn't matter. But, Broden Kelly talks about it all the time on the Auntie Donna podcast. It's the only reason I know.
That's a nice bit of trivia for you.
It is. Listen to every single episode and you'll eventually know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I want to talk about the false sense of hope towards the end that I got.
Yeah.
It's like, even though you know the result of United 93 crashing, you still felt like these guys were going to achieve surviving.
Oh, yeah.
You still felt like, okay, no, they're going to get through this. Like, it was orchestrated in a way. You felt like they're going to overcome this. But no, it just ended.
They were so brave as well. Imagine running up to a dude who's threatening to blow up the plane. I mean, logically, when they thought about it, they had that time, they're like, as if he's going
to actually bring a bomb on the plane if they're meaning to get to another area.
Yeah. And I think the terrorists could have as well won if they waited longer, like that monobrow dude was going to say.
Well, no, because if they waited too long, then they would have been over half of the country and then they would have had to fly back even further. So they actually...
Oh, they would have to redirect course. Eh?
Yeah, because that's the whole point. They're going to the West Coast.
Ah, yeah.
Because it's a New York to San Francisco flight, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, so that's what you were saying, like that fourth mark, that was the White House, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay, I take that back. So then...
They should have done it quicker.
Quicker, yeah.
I know.
Well, not they should have.
But not they should have, but that's what...
Well, Scott.
No.
Whoa. Hey. Now, I won't throw you under the bus on this podcast. No, I will. No. But I will. No. But no. What do you think of the shaky cam?
It was done well.
Yeah.
Because I know you're not a shaky cam man.
I'm not a shaky cam.
You're not a fan of the shake. Especially, we talked about this in Battle Los Angeles. Go back and watch our very... Well, watch, listen.
You could watch the time scroll, each second go
watch
by.
Watch the numbers.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to our first episode if you would like. But, it was done in a tasteful way that felt like a handycam sort of thing that's not fucking going crazy all the time.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done.
Well, there was no crazy action shooting scenes or anything, or like explosions or whatever. It was like just done documentary style.
I think the best two uses of it was in any board, I mean like any air traffic control room.
Yep.
Really created that tension
it
perfectly.
Did. Yeah.
And the end conflict in the plane.
Oh, it was so messy and, oh, dude, yeah.
That was good. A couple of times there was a few stupid shots that threw me out a bit, you know.
Well, like what? What's something that you didn't like the look of?
There was one where I was trying to film a lady in as the hijacking had just started, but half the seat was covering the screen, so it was just half black, and then her crying in a weird angle.
Yeah, fair
enough.
And
I was trying to be artsy, but it just didn't look good at all.
Yep.
There was another one at the start where Langley Boy, you know, the grey-haired dude, was looking down at a document and it was shot at his face. And then it went to pan down to the document and then jerkily went back up to his face and then went down to the document.
Right. So where it should have just gone down and finished the shot.
Yeah. There's a few little things like that throughout the film that happened, you know, sporadically that I thought, come on.
Yeah.
That's a bit silly.
My one little gripe on this, I would say, is it was the perfect length for it, for the story, but even for me, I think it just felt just a little bit too long. Just a little bit.
Yeah, you reckon the start could have been a bit shorter?
Maybe the start or just a few things could have been adjusted a bit. Not without changing the story too much or cutting too much out. But yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, it was very heavy, I would say. There's a lot of dialogue and back and forth.
Yeah.
You've got to be listening and paying attention 24/7. I think I was like, oh, okay, this is... Yeah, I need a bit of a break somewhere. But, you know, that's just me, personal taste sort of thing.
It was a very, obviously, heavy movie. You're right, there's a lot of dialogue and lots of stuff. But, you know, I don't know.
It fits it, though.
I disagree. I reckon the time was good for me.
You think the time was perfect for you?
Yeah. I like the build-up of just, you know, in the plane and stuff. I think some of the small talk, the acting could have been a bit better, but I'll get back to that. Because I guess that ties into trivia of why I think the acting could have been better, and now it makes sense after trivia.
Fair, yeah.
But in the tense moments, everyone's acting was great.
Yeah.
I even think Langley Boy, that's what I'm calling him.
Langley Boy, yeah.
He was a bit choppy at the start.
Yeah, right.
When he was talking about his promotion, and then they're like, you've already lost $9 billion today, and he's like, hey, I've just started today. But it was just a bit, I don't know, not genuine.
Yeah. Felt a bit stilted and...
Righto, what are you working out of hardly working? And it's like, oh shit, never mind, we can't be joking now. Yeah. And then it was like, yeah, good acting from here.
Then it gets into it. Yeah, I liked the serious Langley.
You did?
Yeah. Serious Langley was good.
Let's just talk about as well that end scene a bit more there.
Yeah.
What do you think of the initial takeover?
I thought it was like, wow, I'm in this as well with the characters or the people. I'm in this plane. That's what it made me feel like.
Yeah.
And we're rushing in. And that the balls of that first guy to be able to go first and just tackle him.
Oh,
like the first... Oh, sorry. We had a pause. Bus going past.
Oh, a bit up. What time? Oh, bloody... It's actually quite short, mate. We're almost hitting the half-hour mark.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Kind of sexual.
Magic.
Is that bus? You can still kind of hear it. Kind of. Yeah, maybe we should just wait for it to go.
I think so.
All right. Oh, I can't hear it anymore.
The bus. And we're back.
That's
Nuts podcast.
Yep. We totally cut right there, didn't we?
Good job, Scott, in post.
What can I say? My skills too good.
Yeah, that's a good cut. A lot of people couldn't do that cut.
It's actually impossible.
You cut out that bus. What were you saying? Oh, is it back?
It's back.
No.
Fuck. All right, I'm just going to pause.
Leave this bit though.
And
after a bus and a mole, we've really been fucked over with our momentum.
We're back.
Where were we at?
Oh,
God damn it.
Tear my shirt off and call me Sally.
A woman slices a muffin in this movie, and I found that weird.
Wow.
Eat it.
The way that she sliced the muffin, or the fact that she's slicing a muffin? Oh, you mean a baked muffin.
A baked muff.
Like a muffin. Not like an English muffin.
No,
like a muffin.
Like a choc chip. It actually looked more like a orange, sort of orange.
Maybe it's orange and chocolate muffin.
Orange and chocolate muffin, yeah.
Hey, sometimes you want to take it in pieces.
But
I get that.
Yeah, but you tear it. You never slice. Who slices a muff? You tear a muff. You don't slice a muff.
Man, do you remember those muffins we used to get from the canteen at school?
Yeah.
They were good.
I should whip back and get my mates.
Get your boys to get some in the morning. And just throw them at us. They're only like $2.
Yeah.
All right, this is a genius idea.
Great idea. That is good.
So, yeah, United 93.
Is the movie
we watched for the podcast today.
I don't have much more to say now because I've lost my goddamn momentum.
Your movie appetite. I really enjoyed the craftiness and the artsiness of how they showed the Twin Towers in this movie. They only showed them in background shots and skylines.
Yeah.
There was no close-ups. And just before the North Tower got hit, you see it in one of the passenger seats, right in the corner of the window. And it's like, that's the last fleeting moment of that being there.
Yeah.
And then, boom, you see the radio tower, and you don't see it hit the first time. I find that extremely impactful.
Yeah, I appreciated that. You didn't see that and the Pentagon hit. The only one you
saw... Only it was a South Tower.
Yeah.
And even then, they didn't use fake footage. It was real. They used real footage
for
that.
They did the real one, yeah.
Which makes it like, okay, this is it.
It makes it feel, once again, less, I want to make a movie and profit off this. It's like, I want to tell a story through the... medium of film.
That's right.
And that's the way to do this. I have no problem with making films about dark topics like this.
Mm, yeah.
And half a decade is really quite a long time. I have no issue with that. Maybe some people do. But I think you've got to think 5 years is quite a long time. Five years.
I'd have to disagree on that because it still feels like it's pretty recent.
Yeah.
So, even though I wasn't, well, neither of us were, I mean, I was alive, but I wasn't. Conscious, I guess. I wasn't like able to understand what's happened. I was just a baby, but it still feels recent for me.
Yeah,
for some reason, I don't know.
I know it's recent. It's
no, so but recent. Yeah, it
but
is.
I mean, to
it's
start
long
telling
to,
stories about it.
In that respect, yes, because yeah, it, the story needs to be told.
I don't have a problem with that. Per se,
for sure. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Obviously, like,
I agree.
A year after, hey guys, check this out. And if they even made this exact same film,
yeah,
it still would feel like, why?
There was a lot of stuff. Actually, fun fact. Well, just a trivia fact sort of thing about like media and stuff. A lot of video games and movies had to like change up their style of doing things, even like cartoons and stuff, like with cops.
Mm.
Like they couldn't have like the like a certain color of cop car in GTA, I think. Like they had to change it to like a dark blue or something instead of being like the dark black and white.
How come?
Because I think it was too reminiscent and it was too close
for when
they released the game.
Yeah, fair.
I think it was like GTA 3.
Heaps
but
of
don't
things
don't
got,
quote me on that.
Heaps of things got changed. And
oh
stuff,
yeah,
but, you know,
just like you know, too soon.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's right. They had the Twin Towers in that movie before
yeah,
it came out.
Yeah, the trailer. And that was like the full thing. Didn't he jump on the Twin Towers or something?
I think so,
yeah. That was the whole thing. And heaps of stuff. Like, this just, like, put its, like...
Its mark. Like
mark
it's,
on everything, yeah.
It's one of those historical events. Like, I mean, not to the degree, but COVID-19 is one of those things as well. That will be talked about forever. As well.
Yeah,
not to
COVID
the same impact, but
crazier. I could say that.
Yeah, but like it's just yeah. 9/11 was one of those things that is just I mean, it is taught in the history rooms. It is like the last modern history fact that I learnt.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much, but yeah, it's overall this movie did an incredible job.
Shall we get into some...
Let's do it, yeah.
Some trivia, some T-Dogs.
Oh, please, I need some trivia.
Mate, guess what?
Oh,
I've got some for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, to make the movie as authentic as possible, director Paul Greengrass cast a number of real-life participants in the events of September 11 to play themselves. So, a lot of people were actually playing themselves.
Interesting.
And that's why I say at points at the start when they're just doing the small talk, it did feel a bit forced at times. Like, I was like, God, that's not the best acting. And then once we got into it, it felt really real.
Yeah.
Like I was there.
Like, because they had experienced it, so they were just rehashing what they had done.
Yeah, exactly right. But the... Obviously, I'm trying to readjust and I'm making a lot of noise
That's
in
okay.
my seat.
That's all right, buddy.
It's very hot.
Yeah, it's pretty steamy in here.
That's why, yeah, those little bits I felt weren't as good. The families of the 40 passengers and crew members killed on the United Flight 93 cooperated in the production. Jesus, I can't speak.
It's okay.
The 40 passengers and crew.
Yeah, they cooperate.
Their families are helped with the director, with giving background on their loved ones, down to the clothes they wore, the reading materials or music they had, their personal characteristics, and the snacks they might have had aboard. You do the last two trivia points. We're changing the game.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, so this is how you do trivia. I've never seen you.
You've never done it. This is the bottom two paragraphs.
Okay. I got some trivia for you.
Wow.
Man. Wow. Oh, wait. So I do the last one.
Yeah, the last two.
Oh, the actors who played the hijackers and the actors who played the passengers and crew were kept in separate hotels during filming. They also worked out in separate gyms and did not eat meal. Oh wow, so they really like had that sense of basically you are the enemy sort of thing.
Yeah
and to keep them as distant as possible so they didn't have that because if they're not trained actors you would be able to see that they know each other sort of thing. The director wanted to capture the separation, fear and hostility between the two groups. Very well done, I would say. And actually, you know what? I like that we saw the character of like one of the terrorists even kind of thinking. I could tell that he was like, nah.
The pilot.
Yeah, he wasn't fully in it yet. He wasn't fully committed until the other one ambushed the cockpit pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, oh man. So there was even a glimmer of hope there for them not to do it at that point. If it was just two of them, maybe that pilot could have said, oh, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, that was an interesting little
plot point. That was cool.
United 93's flight crew is portrayed by real pilots and flight attendants, some whom work for United Airlines.
Yeah. So,
basically what you're saying is there is a lot of real people that were there.
And real people, family helped with the production of getting the details right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's super interesting.
People, acted as themselves.
Yeah, right.
I'm guessing in like the control rooms and stuff like
that. Yeah, more of that sort of stuff. A lot of that
stuff.
Because they can react that stress pretty well, I would assume.
Yeah.
It's pretty. It would be pretty easy to do that if you're doing that every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's get into some Letterboxd.
Oh, yeah. I'm interested to see what people have thought about this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's not any silly ones, really.
Yeah.
NikkiD316 says, harrowing, thrilling, and emotionally powerful. United 93 brings to life an incredible story of sacrifice and bravery
with
nuance, intelligence, and the utmost compassion.
Now, that's very well written.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree on that, especially on the word harrowing.
Yeah.
My God.
It goes on for a bit longer, but like...
Yeah, that's a good summary.
That's enough, mate. That's what I do with most of these trivia and things.
I just cut
halfway through. I don't want to hear all of this shit, though. It's bust to nuts, not like a Nikki's podcast. No, it's right. The harrowing's a good word
for this.
He gave it 5 stars.
Well done.
Next one?
No, please.
Do I have your permission?
Let me think about it. Yeah, you do.
Oh, my God.
Go on.
Dawson says, one of the most intense, gut-wrenching and heart-pumping cinematic works in recent memory. United 93 represents Paul Greengrass's at his best work, resulting in chilling and wholly engrossing depiction of a real-life tragedy.
Yeah, that's very well written as well. Paul Greengrass. That's a very interesting name.
Yeah, let's see what else he's done.
I wonder how he... like got that last name, like where that comes from. Green probably grass.
His parents, I'd say.
Yeah.
Oh, he did the Bourne movies. That's why really? It's filmed like that.
That makes a lot of sense.
It was filmed like
and it's got that like 2000s filter on it as well, the blue sort of saturation.
He did Supremacy, Ultimatum, and the newest Jason Bourne.
He didn't do the very first one.
No.
He did the best ones.
Captain...
Oh, no, the first one's great.
Yeah.
The first one's great.
He did Captain Phillips.
Wow. So he's done a few of these pretty intense movies.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, 22nd of July, which is a true story of a day that... that's another thing, of a neo-Nazi terrorist.
Wow. See, I want to go back through this guy's movies. Now. That sounds cool.
Done a few notable things, then a bunch of like indie shit.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Score time, I think.
Paul.
Yeah. On your greeny, grassy boy.
All right. So.
I'm first.
You can go first.
I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 nugs.
I like that score. I personally, comparing it to other films, I feel like it's just a little bit lower, but it's just there. So I'm going to give it 7.5 nugs out of 10 for this movie.
Lovely.
Lovely.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these three things.
Number one. Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number two.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number three.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.
Butts to Nuts.